My name's Mike Rowe. This is my job.
I explore the country looking for people who aren't afraid to get dirty.
Well, it's autumn in New England. The trees are bursting with color. Down here on Lake Diarrhea, the color is brown.
Hard-working men and women who earn an honest living doing the kinds of jobs that make civilized life possible for the rest of us.
Now, get ready to get dirty.
Coming up on Dirty Jobs, I get thrown in with the dirty socks. The Bowie Bay Sox, that is.
I'm the head groundskeeper here for the Bay Sox.
Where's the rest of your crew?
You're looking at it.
Mowing, raking, washing, and tips on how to get to second base the hard way. Then, how do you get 1,000 pounds of concrete to float? Just add water, an ex-Navy SEAL, and a balloon. I'm in New Hampshire placing boat moorings and finding out that a lump of rock moves through the water better than I do.
You know, Mike, you're going the wrong way. The market's that way.
And later.
So we're not drilling for oil.
We're not even drilling for water.
Geothermal well digging in Tennessee. It's a cheaper way to heat and cool a building and environmentally cleaner.
The idea now is to make sure we found the clog.
But the energy is the only clean thing about this job.
Oh, God.
So, I'm going to sing the national anthem at a ball game. Never done that before. It's kind of nerve-wracking. They just sent me out here with my microphone, and there'll be some sort of announcement. And then I'm going to sing it. My goal is to sing it as fast as possible and get all the words right. I don't see what could possibly go wrong.
Before I hit some major notes in the minor leagues, let me take you back about 6.5 hours.
Here's the situation. It's about 100 degrees in Maryland in the middle of August. And in just 6.5 hours, the Bowie Bay Sox are going to square off against the New Hampshire Fisher Cats. The Bay Sox are a farm team for the Baltimore Orioles. The Fisher Cats are a farm team for the Toronto Blue Jays. Both play double-A ball. Unfortunately, neither one of these teams has a hope or prayer of winning their division, making tonight's game completely and utterly without significance. However, management here at Prince George's Stadium still has the responsibility of filling the stands with fans, and the ground crew still has the responsibility of preparing the field for play. Behind me is the ground crew. His name is Matt. Let's meet Matt. Cut. Not cut. Cut. Not cut. See the difference? Me either. All right. The Tri-King 1800G. Right. It's Matt, right?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Mike?
Are you the groundskeeper? Are you the whole crew? What are you?
I am. I'm the head groundskeeper here for the Bay Sox.
Where's the rest of your crew?
You're looking at it. Right now.
Yep. It's touching. The oversteer on this thing is very bad. Screwing up the warning track.
Matt spends 2 hours a day, every day, cutting this grass to a length of 7/8 of an inch. What is the point?
Give it to me straight, I can take it.
Well, you did all right going down that time, Mike, but you didn't have the reels down coming back.
That's a rookie mistake.
Is that right?
So, yep. So does this device actually have a name?
It's called a mat drag.
A mat drag?
A mat drag. This is a lot like a Zamboni, except it's on dirt.
The Zamboni's the thing that levels out the ice.
Levels out the ice on a hockey rink.
If it were up to me, you know, let the grass grow, let the thing be a little rocky. It makes it more interesting. The ball could go anywhere. I think the fans would embrace that kind of randomness.
A lot like Little League.
Exactly like Little League.
Most of the baseball game happens right here in the infield. And it's not just dirt. It's sand, silt, and clay. It's also graded and leveled.
Let's tidy up a warning track, shall we?
Woo-hoo! Yeah!
warning track runs around the perimeter of the field. It was brought to the game back in the 50s, and it's there to let players know they're about to crash into the wall.
Oh, yeah. This is baseball, baby. We're getting somewhere.
That's dirty.
Infielders hate bad hops. Watering the infield reduces bad hops and dust.
Well, it's just 3 hours to game time, and I have so far become well acquainted with the dirt. I've dragged it, and now I've watered it. I guess a perfectly good time to throw myself into it. We've all seen professional baseball players rounding the bases, coming in for a great big slide. It looks easy. Truth is, it's a whole lot harder than it looks. This is Jason. He slides all the time, I guess. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Jason is the catcher for the Bay Sox.
Yes, sir.
How'd you do what you just did? Well, I mean, mechanically, walk me through what I just saw.
You're going to come in running as hard as you can, left foot forward.
Right.
You want to tuck your right foot behind this leg, so when you slide, you're kind of sliding on your butt.
Sure.
A little bit. You also want to keep your hands up.
Really?
So you don't want to slide in. Well, if we're not doing a head first slide, we're doing feet first. You're going to end up like this, coming into the bag.
So I'm going to be just like this coming into the bag.
Just like that with your hands up. This foot catches, and it just pops you right up.
Crap. That wasn't good.
That wasn't bad.
No,
it wasn't good. You started your slide too close to the bag.
Way too close. Look at that.
Right there on the bag.
Right on the bag. Now you tell me that didn't hurt?
It wasn't bad.
This is going to hurt.
God darn it. That was a good one.
What made it good? Was it the fact that it hurt all over the place instead of in just one small concentrated area?
Yeah, if it hurts all over, you know you've done a good job.
There you go.
Well, it's almost game time, and believe it or not, fans have actually shown up. Maybe it's the love of baseball. Maybe it's because of who's throwing out the first pitch.
The entire U.S. Navy is throwing out the first pitch. Before I am. I hurt myself. My knee hurts, my hip hurts, my rib hurts, now my arm hurts. Been a heck of a day.
We need base runners, we need runs, and you're going to give them up. Come on, Jeff.
It's 0-0 in the bottom of the third, and a neck-and-neck race to see who scores first.
Well, it's all happening out here right now. This is James Johnson. He's got a miserable job. James is a pitcher, but when he's not pitching, he's here in the dugout with this form that I can't begin to comprehend. What are you doing exactly?
Right now we're just we're charting every pitch.
So you're telling me that you're going to go home when all of this is done, and you're going to evaluate all the pitching patterns, and that somehow is going to affect what you do the next day?
A little bit.
And you do it for both teams? Oh, my. Oh, dear. That was a home run, wasn't it?
You're bad luck.
Yeah, I'm bad luck. I sit here, everything just went to hell. James is going to be busy with the paperwork for a while. I'm going to go make some more friends. Sorry about that.
Coming up, I sweep a doubleheader for the Bay Sox.
I got to teach you how to heckle.
Hey, man,
get tutored in the art of heckling.
It's against my very nature. I want people to do their best.
Do you?
Not really, no.
Then,
I'm moving a barge.
Before you put your boat moorings in the water, you have to put the boat in the water.
This is an interesting strategy you've employed. Fill me with anti-confidence before I attempt to put your fancy barge in the water.
And later,
some of it's yellow, some of it's red, some of it's almost gray. You think down in here like that?
You can get mud from a geothermal well in pretty much any color you want.
In the end, it's all mud.
Well, it's the bottom of the fourth, and the Fisher Cats have pulled ahead with a 2-run lead. Speaking of running,
where's the tractor?
It's parked.
What do you mean it's parked?
I'll get some exercise here.
But I perfected
right
the tractor.
Here we go.
Here
we go.
What am I taking?
What the? All right, just drop it down right on this side of me, Mike.
Right on this side of you.
Yep.
Right here?
Overlap it on me now.
All right, just overlap me 6 inches as we go. 6 inches. Crap. This is a tractor.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Come on in here, guys.
Come here. I want to introduce you to the whole dirty crew here that keeps Prince George's County Stadium up and running. What's your name?
Jimmy Gant.
Jimmy and?
Jim Fleury.
And Jim again and?
Brad Bedell.
So Jimmy, Jim, Matt, and Fred running around and around the bases, dragging this little slice of heaven, which I am 100% convinced ought to be behind a tractor.
There you go. You're right.
Oh, here we go. Big play. Here he comes. Gonna be close. Coming home. Oh! Safe. What's that?
Come on, you missed that, man. Hey, Blue, I got something for you, man. I got your cell phone. You got a whole lot of missed calls on it, like that one.
Very nice.
Come on.
JD.
Mike, you're like a professional heckler? What do you got here?
Yeah, you go out here and you release all your frustration, then you go home to your wife.
It's just hard for me to be nasty to people. It's against my very nature. I'm an encourager.
Oh.
I want people to do their best.
Do you?
Not really, no.
Thanks, pal.
I'm just trying to get people to like me.
I got to teach you how to heck.
Go ahead.
All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
Hey, Jesse, come on, we need another ball. You try it, and then I'll do it behind you.
Hey, Jesse, come on, we need another ball. I just struck him out.
You know, I hate to say it's you, but...
Maybe I am bad luck.
You know, you're just practicing getting this.
You're right. Hey, what's wrong with his pants? Looks like he's got a pants on in there.
Nice job. See,
right?
That's what you pick up.
Hey, Chippy.
Hey, man, we got to get you some real pants, man. You, like, had a blowout in the back of your pants, man. What's up with that? Hey, Blue, throw him out for them patch on the back of his pants. I'm going to start a collection. I'm going to pass the hat. We're going to see if we can get you some pants that don't have a patch on it.
Bad day to be Chippy.
Oh, yeah, you know. Yeah.
Game one is over. Final score, 6-3, Fisher Cats. I can't seem to avoid the bad luck looming over the Bay Sox. Then again, maybe it's me. Oh, well.
Come on, him do a double play. We got things to do, man.
We're down by 3. 2 outs. It's not looking great, but hey, you never know.
Win or lose, everything eventually sorts itself out in the end. Except the laundry.
This is inevitable, I suppose, inside the locker room right here. This is Joe, you're the bat boy, right?
Yep.
But bat boys do more than take care of the bats, don't they? Yeah.
They wash the uniforms and clean the shoes.
They separate the pants and the shirts.
Yeah. And the person.
There's a player that actually got out there and did something. That guy was in it both ways.
You want to put 4 scoops of this in with this.
Based on this scientific measuring device, you've pulled off a can of whatever?
Yep.
Wait a minute, is that the special treatment pile? I can't remember.
Yes.
Hopefully for the Bay Sox, their dark cloud is lifted. And the only curses you may hear about will be from Jason's mouth when he cleans my uniform.
Cleaning the sweaty shoes of a double-A ball player. It's a dirty job. I see it like this. Minor league ball, major league ball, pretty much the same game. But at the end of the day, win, lose, or draw, the best place in the world for a guy to be is right here with his rubber duckies and a nice, hot, relaxing whirlpool. I make my own bubbles.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
coming up.
All right, guys, so we're going to cut chain that we attach ultimately to the thing?
We're cutting this chain.
Placing boat moorings can provoke a chain reaction.
Pull the way you talk to it.
And later, when a geothermal well gets unclogged, it's hard not to notice.
Troy took it pretty hard. His camera's not looking that great. Troy's not looking that great either.
Today I've come to Guilford, New Hampshire for a boat ride on Lake Winnipesaukee. Unfortunately, the boat in question is this, and the lake, I haven't seen it yet, but this is Dave, and he runs the show. How are you?
Welcome to New Hampshire, Mike.
Thanks. Nice to be here. It says right there under Trident, mooring, dock, and barge. What does that mean?
Well, part of our business is mooring services for the people that own the boats on Lake Winnipesaukee. And what we do is we take concrete blocks anywhere from 500 pounds to 3,000 pounds. We bring them out on this boat. We throw them in the lake. We dive in. We hook chains and big mooring balls up to them so they can have somewhere to put their boats. A guy named Art is around here somewhere, and he will be the boat lift master. I have 2,000-pound concrete blocks that are on a truck, and we're going to crane them onto the barge. We're going to be taking these 1,000-pound blocks of concrete, and we're going to be throwing them in the water. They don't necessarily land either right side up or where you want them to land.
No, of course not.
So part of your job is going to be to go down there, flip these moorings over, and move them to where they're supposed to be.
Holy smokes. This is complicated looking.
Actually, it's very, very simple. Very, very simple to move into to operate. You have four winches.
Yeah.
Each run individually. This does your steering. The U, upside down U, is for your forward and reverse. When the rear wheel comes just past the end of the barge, turn this at a 90 degree and swing them.
Because really, this thing has no front or back. It just depends where you're facing it at any given time.
So really, that back left tire does nothing but work as a pivot.
Right.
Doesn't move at all.
Doesn't move at all. You're right there.
All right.
That should be plenty high enough.
All right. Lifted a barge. Great.
Lifted the barge. Now it's time to go.
I want to make sure.
You have to remember to go by the blocks before you turn. Turn it right around tight, and we'll head down the driveway.
I'm moving a barge.
Before we could put the barge in the water, we had to get it and the travel lift through the marina's very narrow front gate. Art took the controls again for this part. But as soon as we were in, I was back in the driver's seat. Or should I say the driver's stand.
So how are you feeling, Dave?
I'm feeling pretty good, but I'm not too confident about your ability to back this thing up onto these little pieces of concrete.
But you know what? This is an interesting strategy you've employed. Fill me with anti-confidence before I attempt to put your fancy barge in the water.
Dave and Art wouldn't trust me to drive the travel lift through the front gate, but they did trust me to back it up over two narrow strips of concrete jutting into the water. Clearly, they'd never seen the show before.
You're close enough. You're over the water right there.
The barge
is over the water.
She's in.
That's it.
First time, we're okay with this?
Right on the money.
I'd hire you, Mike.
He'd hire me. Nobody ever hires me.
This is a beautiful operation right here.
See, a lot of people would just see a big piece of concrete coming toward them, but what you see is a thing of beauty.
I see a $1,200 paycheck.
Now, do you want this stuck over a little? Doesn't matter.
No, it's fine. This is big enough.
Goodness.
Beautiful.
Sweet.
Dave is more than just a former SEAL putting half-ton blocks of concrete in the water. He's also a dive instructor, an underwater welder, even shoots some video for clients like the Discovery Channel.
Last time I got dressed up like this, I got bit by a shark, you know.
Really?
Well, kind of.
There's no sharks. There's no pigs. There are no monkeys in this lake.
Snapping turtles?
There are snapping turtles.
Of course.
There are. However, I think we just passed them all back in the marina.
Good news. So. Okay. Well, you've got that, and I got this. And I assume we're going to cut chain that we attach ultimately to the thing?
We're cutting this chain.
Of course we are. Why wouldn't we be?
Four lengths of 4 feet. And
it's cool the way you talk to it.
There's an awful lot of load on this. So when you're cutting it, you probably want to aim it in a direction other than where the expensive equipment is, because these ends will fly.
I'm expensive equipment.
All right. You're doing good.
Very close.
That's pretty close.
I just want to show you that for all that, I'm still not through the damn thing.
There you go. Talk to it.
Bless America. You had training for this? What did you used to do before you were a whatever it is you are now?
Well, I was in the military.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Branch.
So I was in the Navy.
Yeah?
Yeah. I did a little diving, some other things, so.
You were a SEAL, weren't you?
I was.
So this is what happens to Navy SEALs 20 years later?
20 years and 20 pounds later.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Coming up, placing boat moorings isn't hard to get the hang of.
You're out zero.
Conserving your air supply is.
I was expending a lot of energy on your big rusty Davy Jones locker chain down there.
And later,
he's feeling for vibrations. Basically, turns his body into a tuning fork.
Stamina and strength are essential when digging a geothermal well, but so is sensitivity.
He can do a better job at gauging what straight means by feel than by the sound that he hears. It's pretty cool. Now, what about the floaty thing here?
It'll sink. We'll get it later.
Here we go.
This is a 1,000-pound lift bag, okay? It might lift close to 3,000 pounds. We go up to the mooring block once it's right side up, and we attach this to the eye hook on the top of the block, lifts it up, and we just swim it away. You can push it with one finger.
I'll just follow your lead.
Typically will land upside down, so what we have to do is we have to flip them over. I'll flip this one over, and you can go flip the other one over.
Holy that's half a ton.
Now it's your turn.
Great.
One fluid motion.
Okay, that's pretty heavy. I'm
going to
concentrate a little harder this time.
Come on, Mike. It's only 1,000 pounds.
It's really, really heavy. I know underwater everything's supposed to be lighter, but I'm telling you, this thing weighs 1,000 pounds. I'm going to try one more time, but I got to tell you, dude, I don't know how you do it.
About 20 years of experience, Mike. There it comes. Keep going. You got it. Push, 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 push. Holy fish. That is a really heavy piece of concrete. What we have to do is we have to put this mooring in the proper position. In order to do that, we have to lift it up so we can move it. You see how heavy it is? We're never going to be able to roll it there.
thing. I just don't know how to do it. Pain in the isn't it? Go ahead and turn that tank on, and when you turn that tank on, this bag will start filling up. Okay, it's coming to the surface. Very cool. And there you have it. 1,000 pounds of floating concrete.
Where do we want it to go?
All the way to the other side of the boring field. Okay, we're pretty much there, Mike. So make sure you stand clear. What do you think of that?
Very cool. So this is basically the reason we're doing this. You can see this whole piece of rebar is essentially very dirty and rusted and corroded. And not holding in place. This can tear loose real easily.
Why don't you take this old nasty chain and bring it back to the barge, and then we'll get out of the barge and we'll get it out of the water. The chain is pulling me down no matter what I do. I'm swimming as hard as I can. But this thing weighs like 150 pounds. Maybe more. Well, that's about 10 pounds in there. So I'm basically using the last ounce of my energy and the last ounce of my air to try and get this rusty chain back to the park. I swear, I don't know how big it is. Does anyone see the barge around?
You know, Mike, you're going the wrong way. The barge is that way.
Are you kidding me?
You're going in circles, pal. There you go. Keep coming to me. You get it.
It felt like I was getting low on air, so I had Dave check my gauge. Turned out, I wasn't really low.
You're out zero.
I was expending a lot of energy on your big rusty Davy Jones locker chain down there.
So look, man. That was just one. I already got the other three over here for you.
Oh, I'm real grateful for that.
So, that's how it ends for me. I did my best. The chain is hugely heavy, incredibly difficult to maneuver. I had to drop it. I'm completely out of air. Dave, of course, is like a seal. Here he comes to save the day. And what a dirty chain it is. Look at this mess. And there goes Dave. This lake is cluttered with dirty bits of debris like this. He goes, he finds him, he hauls him up. He does whatever he does. He's Dave. A very dirty guy.
This is Tennessee, the volunteer state. It's an appropriate place for me today because the Discovery Channel has volunteered my services once again. Doing what? I'm not exactly sure. But there's a lot of drilling going on, and it's not for oil. And it looks real dirty.
This is a retirement community, at least it will be a couple of months from now. This is a hole in the ground. It's about 200-300 feet deep. And by the time the whole project is finished, there'll be 93 holes in the ground surrounding the retirement community. Why does a retirement community need 93 holes in the ground? I don't know, but these guys drilled them, so they probably do. You got Todd, you got James Watson. Nice to see you.
I see you, sir.
Are you an oil digger or an oil driller?
Well, a water well driller.
So we're not drilling for oil.
We're not even drilling for water. We're drilling for a heat source.
Now, Todd, is it wrong that I don't really understand what all that means?
No, this geothermal is sort of a new way of heating and cooling
buildings of this size, you know, schools, retirement homes, just like this is.
Why is it efficient? Is it cost effective?
It's cost effective. You use less energy. Instead of drawing in the climate of the outside air to a condenser, we're using the ground as a condenser too, and it stays a constant 60 degree temperature year round. It does not change.
I still don't know what any of that means. I'm here to slow you down, cost you money, and in general, retard the process.
We're looking forward to you to cost us money today.
Coming up on this construction site, the sound you notice most of all is no sound at all.
What's that?
It's quietness.
What?
Don't need them no more.
I've been lip reading for the last 8 hours.
You've done pretty good.
Who knows?
Geothermal energy is a natural heat source found deep in the earth. A water solution will be pumped from the house through buried pipes down through the hole and recirculated back into the house. The circulating water carries the heat from the earth to a pump in the house for distribution through the ductwork. Geothermal energy is the reason animals burrow in the ground to protect themselves from the cold of winter and the heat of summer. The temperature underground remains stable, and that's what we're after. A way to stabilize the climate inside the house.
Oh. There you go. It's all right. You'll learn. Drop it in there.
We need to probably just back up and let me get the hole started.
You want us to back up now?
Yes, sir, please.
Did you hear that? You should back up. Stuff's going to start flying.
About 10 foot.
About 10 foot. You should back up, too.
Blowing air down the hose.
Water is pumped in to clear any debris and soften the dirt and clay.
How many people go deaf on this job?
Thing is spewing mud, and I've got to keep the mud from going down the hole.
You can really start to see the difference in the soil and in the mud. Some of it's yellow, some of it's red, some of it's almost gray. You think down in here like that, in the end, it's all mud. This is a really sensitive part of the operation. Todd has to make sure that the hole he's drilling is perfectly straight. When you see Todd put his hands on the pipe, he's feeling for vibration. He basically turns his body into a tuning fork. He can do a better job at gauging what straight means by feel than by the sound that he hears. It's pretty cool.
The process is a lot like drilling for oil. But this method of heating your home is more environmentally sound, more efficient, and cheaper than oil.
Some sort of metal. When the mud flap is down, it's a civilized world. When the mud flap is up, that's very dirty.
Make sure we got the pipe cleaned off real good.
PVC pipes will support the hole against collapse. We just have to clean them, sure then glue them, then shove them in.
It's just hard to believe anything within a couple square miles of you and I right now is ever going to be clean again.
Oh, yeah. Gotta do it right. Do it right the first time, you don't got to do it again. You learn by mistakes.
Well, in that case, I'm the smartest man in the land. We're basically doing the same thing again. Every time you make a connection, you have to make sure it's clean.
Down.
That's it.
That's it.
Now that the PVC is in place, a smaller drill bit will go even deeper from within the PVC pipe.
Nice.
Even though these pipes are a lot bigger than the ones in your house,
that's the block.
We'll try to push it in a little bit and see if it might go in.
They can get clogged just as easily.
Basically, the idea now is to make sure we found the clog. And I'm pretty sure we did.
All right, well, the truth is, none of us really saw that coming. All part of the fun, though, of digging a hole, I suppose. Troy took it pretty hard. His camera's not looking that great. And to be perfectly honest, Troy's not looking that great either. No offense. Dave, of course, always in the line of fire. Oh, yeah. Yeah, but the important thing is, the camera's okay, sort of. Paul, always forward-thinking, he went with the umbrella. Adam, of course, was sleeping in the car. He's fine. And Chris, once again, kneeling on a pile of rocks, trying to make the best of it. You're a dirty son of a gun!
Hey, I love my job.
Better. Yeah, it's on your lens again.
Coming up.
Well, the grout's coming up on the hole, up in the hole.
Yeah.
And it's pushing our trim line out.
When you're pumping grout into a geothermal well, you better watch your trim line, or what gets trimmed might be you.
It's a good thing I'm here. I let go of this hose. Todd here.
It's history.
Problem is, it's not a clean seal on the top, so when we get to the bottom of this next pipe, we're going to put on a rubber. This is the rubber. The rubber will protect us.
There you go, buddy.
Just how efficient is a geothermal exchange system? Well, if every school in the United States had one, the country would save 61 million barrels of oil a year.
Tighten it up at the same time. Push this one down and tighten it up. All right, that one, ease it down. Don't do nothing to that one. All right, hold. Push that one up, this one up, and that one down. Get it? No. Turn it. This one. All right, that one up, that one down.
What the hell just happened? I turned 20 knobs, I clicked 50 switches. Levers?
Yeah, you gotta do that every time. Come on, there you go.
Oh, too far. The noise never stops. I'm not scared of machines, but that's the most complicated thing I've ever seen. You got this hand doing this, you got that, and then you switch, you're rubbing your belly, you're patting your head, crawling backwards up your own butt and vanish. I just had to turn the noise off for a second and ask you what's going on here.
Why? They're wanting to shut this off, and they're going to, y'all are going to grout this well. You and James.
You look like a mess, Mike.
No, I am a mess. This is what your brother and I have been working on. You pump it off there.
Yeah, this is our pump, our grout machine and everything. What this is on the back is what's called a trim line.
Yeah.
And we run that trim line all the way to the bottom of the borehole.
What's that?
It's quietness.
What?
Don't need them no more.
God bless.
Yeah, let's just throw them away.
This is the noisiest site I've been to in a long time.
It's like it's every day.
Can I level with you?
Uh-huh.
I've been lip reading for the last 8 hours. Who knows? I don't know if anyone's heard anything I've said. I don't know if I've correctly understood. For all I know, your brother could have proposed to me. All and right. I said, yeah, sure.
Well, he's done married.
Well, whatever happened, happened. Now, you were saying we're going to pump
thermal grout. Which is you mix water with bentonite, then you mix it with sand. So we take this trim line that's on the back of this machine right here, and we run it down 200 feet into the borehole. And we pump this grout into this borehole, and as we're pumping the grout, we bring this trim line out at the same time.
What's this?
That's a loop pipe right there. What that right there does and everything, it's got a U-bend at the bottom. So fluid will circulate through one end, goes all the way to 200 feet down,
yeah.
Comes back out the other side, back into the building itself. It exchanges the heat from the building to the ground, expands itself out, and goes right back down to the building, cools it down.
So this is what you were saying before. This is how you're using the earth as a condenser.
As a condenser. And all we're going to do is just stick it in this borehole right here.
All right.
And force it down the well.
All that finger pushing.
First, we have to get 200 feet of the trim line down the hole so we can pump the grout in.
This is like a race to see who has a heart attack first.
That's gonna go forever. There we go. There we go.
That's it.
Once the bentonite and sand are mixed with water, we'll start pumping the grout down the hole.
There you go. Just pour it off in there.
Enhanced grout acts like an insulator and keeps the heat from escaping the hole.
There you go. Start pumping. More? More. We're not done yet. We need three more bags.
Gotta get it, Mike.
We need three more bags of that. Watch your trim lines coming out. Just hang on to her, Todd. We got one more batch. Was our grout's coming up on the hole, up in the hole,
yeah,
and it's pushing our trim line out. So that's how we know when to bring it up.
So this is definitely the last batch.
This is definitely the last batch. Water.
Pump and growl.
Todd.
Uh-oh. That's amazing.
You're all right. Shoot, Todd. This right here. Just hang on to it.
What the heck happened there? Todd, what happened, man? I'm not sure. Looked like somebody might have taken their eyes off the pipe. Could it have been something that rudimentary?
Exactly. You gotta have me hold this one, brother.
No, I got it.
125 pounds soaked wet.
On an average day, the Watson brothers are able to complete 15 wells from start to finish.
I need to get some duct tape.
All right.
It's a good thing I'm here.
You ain't kidding.
But I let go of this hose, and Todd here
is history.
Today was not an average day. We almost completed one.
Don't you let go.
It's nice the way the crimson from the clouds reflects in the orange of the mud.
Beautiful time of the year.
It's beautiful. You know what it's like? We're like the soldiers on Iwo Jima. Except we're not raising a flag, we're holding a nasty pipe.
Of course, the Watson brothers put the U-bend back where it should be. No thanks to me.
It's the only thing that holds our show together.
Hey, you want to see something really scary? Yeah, it's me. And if you don't go to discovery.com/dirty jobs right now and suggest a brand new dirty job for me and the boys, I swear I'm going to come to your house and eat your brains. I'll do it. Won't I?
Hey, by the way, on a side note, I finally found a way to make it 8 inches. Ask me how.
How?
I fold it in half. Thank you very much.
Okay.
You've lost the scooper?
Oh, crap.
This is awkward, Joe.
Yeah, I know.
Got to be an engineer, huh?
I think we should cut here for a second.
Cut? This is just where our show gets interesting.